This is the Creating the Future podcast, and I'm your host, Jordan Krause. Today, we're going to discuss learning a language with Señora Elsa and Señora Luis. Bienvenidas. Welcome.
Hola.
Muchas gracias.
Buenos días.
Thanks for coming on today. So there is absolutely an art to learning a language, and I want to help you unpack what that looks like here at TCDS. But first, tell us about your teacher journeys. What brought you to TCDS? Tell us about kind of where you've been and, yeah, how you came to us.
Okay, well, I start. I'm Elsa Robinson, and it's my 10th year here at TCDS. I was born and raised in Mexico, in Hermosillo, and I have a law degree from Mexico. And I was a lawyer for 10 years, and I was there. I was happy, everything fine. Then I moved to California for personal reasons, and I didn't want to go to school again, so I met this girl that had a Spanish immersion preschool. And she invited me to work with her for a summer. And I loved it. She loved me. Everybody loved each other. So I stayed with her. She hired me as a full-time teacher there. And I worked there for 7 years. I went to college where I was in California to study early childhood education. I got enough credits to get my associate's teacher permit. So I started working in public schools with their Spanish program. And yeah, I was happy there too, but then circumstances happened and I moved to Tucson, and I like it being a Spanish teacher, so I decided to continue being here. I applied for several jobs. TCDS contacted me and interviewed me and hired me 10 years ago. And I'm still here. I teach preschool through fifth grade, and I cannot imagine myself somewhere else.
Mm. I think the school feels the same, Elsa.
Thank you.
So I was born and raised in Caracas, Venezuela, the capital city of Venezuela. My parents are American, though. So my dad's from Arizona, my mom's from Texas. They moved to Latin America before I was born, learned Spanish, and so I was raised kind of in the inverse of a lot of our students who speak Spanish at home here. I had a similar experience, but I spoke English at home. That was my native language, but Spanish was everything else. So school, friends, church was all Spanish. I moved to Tucson for college. I came to come to the University of Arizona, and I majored in bilingual elementary education, K-8. With an emphasis in both Spanish and also helping ESL learners, so English language learners. I taught for a couple years in a bilingual classroom. I moved to Spain for 2 years. I got my master's degree there, and I worked at a public bilingual school in Spain, helping students acquire English. And then now I've come back to Tucson, and I really feel like it's been a perfect fit for me here at TCDS because I get to do kind of both angles of language acquisition. So I teach middle school Spanish, 6th, 7th, and 8th as an elective. But then the other hat that I wear at TCDS is supporting the English language learners that we have here, and that's K-8. So anyone who is acquiring English, needing extra services and support, I'm their person. So I get to kind of still be with some of the younger students. So they see me in the elementary school buildings. Primarily, though, I'm in the middle school building teaching those middle schoolers.
So, Laura, you learned Spanish and English kind of at the same time, mm-hmm. It sounds like, right? Elsa, when did you, so your native language is Spanish. When did you learn English, start learning English, speaking it regularly?
Well, when I was in elementary and middle school, we had Spanish at school, the English at school.
Okay.
But it was not really good, actually. So I didn't learn a lot. I had the basics of the grammar, but that's it.
So it really wasn't until you're
until I moved here is when I start practicing and learning more English.
So to what degree does your age, life experience impact your ability to acquire a second language? Talk to us about that.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually interesting that we have both perspectives then, because I learned from, you know, from the beginning, I was learning both simultaneously. And then you have the experience of learning a second language as an adult and kind of that extra effort that I'm sure you had to put in.
Yes, and actually you can see the difference. So her Spanish and her English, she doesn't have an accent. It's like Spanish and English is perfect for her. She probably thinks in Spanish when she's talking Spanish, thinks in English. For me, it's different. My accent is super strong. And sometimes when I'm speaking English, I think in Spanish, I have to translate it. And it's a kind of a little bit hard sometimes. I'm still learning, I'm fine, but you can see the difference when you learn both languages when you're little, like Miss Lewis.
So what? Break that down for us, thinking in Spanish, speaking in English, or vice versa. What do you mean by that?
I'm thinking that I'm trying to speak English, and I have to think in Spanish sometimes and then translate it in my mind before I say my idea in English. So that makes it a little bit harder sometimes.
And you can see that with the students as well, how you teach the younger kids. You know, it's most evident, I'm sure, with the preschoolers, the pre-K students, that they're able to just jump right into the second language environment and try to operate within it. Whereas by middle school, you can already see that they want to start with what they understand first. So they start with the grammar structures of English and try to roll them into Spanish directly, like a one-to-one. Mm. And they need that extra support wrapping their heads around some of those systems and how they operate differently in Spanish.
Mm. So you notice also your young ones just kind of jump in.
Oh, yes.
No fear.
No fear, all that. They're walking and it's a maintenance person in there that speaks Spanish. They just start, hola, ¿cómo estás? Without even thinking on translating, just because they know he speaks Spanish. So, yes. So, you can learn any time in your life, but it's better in the younger age. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier.
It's most evident in native pronunciation. Pronunciation is going to be the biggest benefit of starting early on top of all the others. Mm-hmm. But learning a language as an adult is certainly possible. I mean, we have evidence here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you've probably got students, especially in middle school, I'd imagine, and probably in elementary as well, who come to school with a good knowledge base. Maybe Spanish is spoken at home. Maybe they speak it, know it already. And then you're going to have some students who come and maybe they've never spoke Spanish. I don't know if you have any middle schoolers who are like that. I'm sure there's elementary students. So how do you go about personalizing the process of helping a class develop their language skills when you have students all over the spectrum of understanding, knowledge, and usage already?
I do a lot in elementary. I have a lot of students that speak Spanish at home and know Spanish. So for them, I really ask them to help, and they love helping. Mm-hmm. So for them, for the ones that are advanced because they speak Spanish, they help me with the ones that are beginners that don't speak Spanish at all. And for them, it's like they feel like they're helping. They're the teachers, and they do that a lot. Actually, they ask, can I help? I can help this person. I can help. So that is a big part for them. So helping the ones that do not, and they feel really proud of it, that they can help the ones that don't speak Spanish at home.
Yeah, that's still true in middle school. The ones that speak Spanish at home get that opportunity to feel proud of themselves. Some of them are the same kids who, when they visit their primos, their cousins in Mexico, they're the ones that feel embarrassed by their level of Spanish compared to their cousins, but then here at school, they get to be the experts on the language and they realize how much they are bringing to the table. So that's exciting for them. For the ones that don't have Spanish at home, though, I think it's a lot of affirming that they already have such a good understanding of language because they've learned a language before. Anyone who speaks their own language natively has done it. So affirming them that they already have those skills in them. Their brain is primed to communicate and understand language. Now they're just doing it again and through a bit of a different lens.
So it sounds like learning a language here at TCDS, it's more than just acquiring some language skills. I'm hearing you both speak of a student's comfort level or maybe feeling embarrassed? Or it's like, what role does social emotional learning play in learning a language amongst peers in a classroom?
It's pretty important. In middle school, it's the first thing that we focus on at the beginning of the year, because just developmentally, the age that they're at, they're very self-aware, they're very aware of others, they're a lot quicker to notice when someone makes a mistake than when someone does well. So prioritizing the social emotional learning is the first thing that we work on. There are a couple of things we do to kind of help the kids feel more comfortable. In my classroom, we start off, well, first of all, with talking about, you know, how everyone at some point is going to feel silly learning a second language. Even the kids that have a background in Spanish will sometimes beat themselves up about their mistakes. And so we do, you know, a lot of like team building stuff, you know, things that aren't even directly related to Spanish yet at the beginning. And then things like tongue twisters, you know, and I'll show them, some of them are hard for me, you know, even growing up speaking Spanish, and not correcting them so much on pronunciation for a while, really not prioritizing pronunciation as something that should be directly corrected by the teacher until they're at that point where they're ready to handle it. But we just need to get the ball rolling at first. But if a kid doesn't feel comfortable to make mistakes in front of others, learning a language will be very challenging for them.
Yes, in my classroom, it's also helped that I make mistakes in English. So I always talk to them about that. Look, I'm here, I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I'm in front of all of you speaking English and I'm doing it. If I make mistakes, it's fine. So that we understand each other, that they can correct me, I can correct them. And it's not a problem to make a mistake in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. The purpose of language is to communicate, and that can be done with all sorts of mistakes, pronunciation errors, grammar errors. Communication can still happen, and that's your first goal. And then from there, you improve it, you know? Mm. You fix those little mistakes, you course correct as you go, but you need to get started.
Yeah, I mean, you think of a student or a child, when your kiddo is starting to learn language, I mean, imagine if we were just harping on them, mm-hmm, all day about mispronunciations.
Stop saying,
or you said
dada,
that wrong.
Say daddy.
Yeah. I think about how that would impact kind of the mindset. Gosh, that would be detrimental. So yeah, that's great that you bring that up. We want this classroom environment to feel natural. And mm-hmm, naturally, we learn by doing, and we learn by making a lot of mistakes and fumbling through and relying on those who are modeling it for us. So no, that's huge. You got to have a psychologically safe, connected environment, it sounds like, for kids to really acquire those language learning skills, which I got to ask you about here. Language learning. So language learning skills versus learning a language. How are those different? How are those different?
The traditional approach to learning a language is, here is the system, here are the important vocabulary words, memorize it and then regurgitate it, which doesn't follow how we naturally as humans are primed to learn language, how we did it the first time. As much as we can make our second language learning match how we learned our first language, that's where you're going to succeed. So language learning skills focus more on the message. Communication is the ultimate goal. Errors are corrected as you go. And language learning skills are skills that can transfer into other areas of your life, can transfer into another language, but also into learning any new system, whether that's coding or construction or, you know, all the collaboration skills you need to be able to communicate with others. Those skills will serve you in other areas of your life. Whereas if you just take the traditional approach, you've just gotten really good at memorizing.
Yeah, because I wonder what percentage of students leave our preschool through fifth or middle school Spanish program continuing learning the language. My guess is that there's a good chunk who may dabble in it in high school and like that's it, right? So mm-hmm, yeah, focusing on those language learning skills as much as, you know, they're learning a language, it's more like, well, take learning Spanish and plug it in with learning math, right? It sometimes, I mean, I tell the kids sometimes, well, it's not even about the math. It's about kind of who you become on the other side of this problem you're looking to solve, or this, you know, whether you're breaking through, you know, an understanding of a certain math concept, or learning how to, you know, convey meaning in Spanish. Like, it's more about the mindset and those skills that can transfer outside of that unique scenario. Right. So no, that's cool to hear that we're emphasizing language learning skills. And to what degree does culture play an impact on learning a language, or, you know, developing those, you know, language learning skills? I know Ms. Elson, particularly, you do a lot of focus on Spanish speaking countries. Like, how does that play into the process of learning a language and acquiring language learning skills?
Well, I think it's really important, because that way they know why they are learning that language and how can they use it. Because some students, that if they don't know anything, they think that it's just going to Mexico and speak Spanish there and that's it. But then learning the culture, they know that is like more than 500,000 million people in the world that speak Spanish, that here in the United States, the Spanish population is growing a lot. All the opportunities they will have when they're trying to get a job. And so I did a lot with the upper elementary, fourth and fifth, about Spanish-speaking countries. Like, we spent the entire semester learning about each one of the countries, and they get really, really interested in that. Oh, okay, they speak Spanish there. If I go there, and then they also relate their own families that went to that country, or I am visit that country, I have an uncle, I have family. So they keep interested in the culture, and that makes them want to learn Spanish, want to know, want to visit and understand why.
A lot of their personal interests, like soccer, you know, food, music, these things that they're interested in already, we can use those things to get them interested in Spanish through culture.
Yeah, I wonder how similar that is to, again, I'll use math and as an example. You know, traditionally, you throw some math problems up on the whiteboard and you follow some procedures and you like get an answer. Well, we know that when you can give math context and it gives those numbers meaning, right? It's kind of similar with language, it seems. Mm-hmm. You got to have, like, having that context, that cultural component, huge. Without that,
yeah,
like you were talking about before, Laura, it's like you've got this, like, just procedures, you do this, learn that, say this, learn that, right? And that's not going to stick mm-hmm. as well, so if you don't have that context.
Yeah, a lot of them, I think the cultural perspective is when that spark kind of starts for them, and it's cool to see it happen. They need that why.
Yeah.
In order to have that intrinsic motivation.
Yeah, if they can imagine themselves in the situation where they're going to speak the language, Spanish here, like, okay, if I go to a restaurant, I can order. If I go to the country, I can ask questions to mm-hmm. people. If I go visit my family in this Hispanic country, I can talk to them. So they imagine themselves in that environment. And I think, yes, is when they get there really interested in the language.
So what advice would you give to someone who wants to learn another language, whether that's Spanish or French or you name it, especially those that are, you know, maybe adults, which we've kind of confirmed anecdotally here that that's, you know, a little bit harder. Ideally, you start when you're 3, 4. Okay, well, if those years are past, well, what do you do? So what advice would you give to someone who wants to develop a second, third language?
How did you do it, Elsa? What are your secrets?
Well, my secret, I really don't have a secret. Everybody knows. But no, I did things that I liked, like music. Like, listen, the music in the language you want to learn helps a lot. And it's something you're enjoying in the moment. Movies. I used to, when I was learning, I used to watch movies in English with Spanish subtitles. Then I watched the same movie in English with English subtitles. And the third time, just in English with no subtitles, and I was able to understand the third time. So try to have, like, come with ideas to make it fun, but you have to be consistent if you're trying to learn a language, have to be consistent and do different things in different environments. Go to a Mexican restaurant, listen to the people, go to an app, do Duolingo or any of those apps, but do different things that are fun and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I watched both of my parents and I've heard from them, you know, developing a second language as an adult. My mom had no background in Spanish until her early 30s, and she's fluent now. And she took the same approach where she just kind of tried everything until things would start to stick. Some of that was the more traditional approach. Some of it is just sitting down and, you know, studying up. That can work and is important to some degree. But ultimately, she said once she, you know, living in Latin America, like, really made deep friendships, that's when it started to click for her, the social aspect, because she had a motivation to communicate, and she had friends who, you know, were willing to chat with her, even with, you know, her mistakes. And now those things have smoothed out, and she's completely fluent. So again, that social component is always going to be a big motivation. And it's important to remember as an adult learner too that yes, kids have the, you know, the brain capacity to acquire language perhaps that you don't feel you have anymore as an adult, but you also have so many skills you've developed to be able to persevere, time management, to be able to organize,
good point,
you know, a flow, things that kids don't necessarily have yet. So there are certain things you bring to the table as an adult learner that children don't have either. So it kind of goes both ways.
So really being intentional is really important, it sounds like, you know, having a plan, you know, for yourself. And yeah, we're definitely advantaged as adults in that arena, but also doing it with other people, right? I think that social component sounds like that's important. So, but kind of what you alluded to, Laura, it's like everyone's going to have their own, mm-hmm. their own way. I mean, that's one of our phrases of our mission here, is to personalize the process. There is definitely no one way, no one trick, no one secret. Elsa, we know you have language learning secrets. We have to kind of find our way, but lean on how other people have done it, and then ultimately develop the confidence to do your own thing, right? That's kind of what we're trying to do here at school. Laura, Elsa, really appreciate what you two do here at our school for our preschool through eighth grade students. You both add so much value, a lot of flavor to our program here. So we thank you for what you do here at TCDS, and thanks for coming on and talking about it today.
Thank you for having us. Gracias.
Yeah, thank you. Gracias.
My pleasure.